Log Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
This evening and enjoying the better weather. I shouldn't call it better weather. We needed that weather, the one we got. We need keep the ground wet, let the grass grow, and, you know, hopefully we'll have cherries and plums and everything happening. First, let me see. I'll let Tahanshi lead us off here, and then I'll run through some issues and some things we'll talk about, okay? Tahanshi.
Oh.
Glad to see you here. You know, before you take off, I was just looking at the news, you know, and
yeah.
this guy dated 35 women just for birthday presents, and he got caught. Just thought I'd mention that. Go ahead.
Right. That's
all the news.
Hey. Oh, damn.
I said this is normal. Okay.
Why not?
Go ahead. Right on. And of course, you know, it's, we appreciate the prayer, and that's for all the people, our listeners, and worldwide. We got listeners all the time. And also, that's uh-huh. prayers for everybody, and including uh-huh. there's even those of you out there that think you're enemy or whatever, you know, we pray for you, you know, and even though you're out there bad mouthing or whatever, we still got prayers for you. In our native tongue, you know. So you know, a lot of people, Tashi, I won't get into it too much because we got a while and we can discuss a lot of things, but I wanted to say to listeners out there, be proud that we still have culture in this country. Be proud that we still have people speaking their own languages, and you know, and be proud of that. Don't get mad, and don't be pouting around and griping because we talk about Washitu. What else are we gonna talk about? They're the ones came over here. They're the ones here. They're the ones killing people. They're the ones doing everything. They're bombing all the other countries. What are we supposed to talk about? You know, just because you got a Washitu in your family, we all got them in our family. We all got different races in our family. Don't feel all butt hurt, you know. The thing about it is you know, we got to have some risk for a lot of things. And when I see what's happens, you know, like the other day, somebody without a face name on Facebook, no home pictures, no family pictures, no one knows who this person is, but he's calling everybody else fakes and all that. Even promoted my music. I'm thanking for that, or her, who it is, whoever it is. It's somebody, you know. And you know, and they're troublemakers is what they are. If you want to be an American Indian movement, you got to figure out a way around your hate. You know, I don't even know this person, so why is he attacking me? You know what I mean? I never told him nothing. But that's the kind of people out there. And then you people out there that support this guy, you guys think he's somebody, but you got to know he's a fake yourself. So why do you even associate yourself with him? And then the other thing is, when you support the cops and you put a wanted poster on your page to attack, to get some Lakota busted, and you're Lakota yourself, and then gripes because we're talking about people that work with the cops, and then you say, you question that, then when you get confronted, well, you do. He killed somebody I know. So what? You still going to work with the American, but you want to be indigenous? You want to act like you're somebody? Remember, that other culture is murdering our people. They killed more people than the guy you're talking about. They're bombing millions. They 500,000 atomic bomb in Japan. They murder people in Iraq, Afghanistan, and you're going to work with them? Ah, man, get the hell out of here. Anyway, I get fired up for nothing again. But the point is, we know where we stand with the outside world, and we can't help it that we say Washichu, you know. It's just like Mexicans, they say gringo or gabacho, you know, or other people of cultures got a word for them or for other people. It isn't racism. That's just what comes out of our mouth. It ain't racism because that's how we identify them. How else are we going to identify them? If we're Lakota, that's how we say it, you know. If we're if you're in Apache or whatever, you're going to call them something. And once again, I encourage all people, you know, when you come on, if you have your own language, speak it. Talk to your people. Give them a message. You know, we don't discriminate against people's culture or our language. You know, language is a good thing. Now, the English language, you know, like I'm talking about somebody with a fake name, every other word is the F word, all frustrated, the F word. The English language, like Toshi said, is a bastard language, and it has all the vulgarity to go with it. It has all the vulgarity to go with it. People don't even know how to talk without using that vulgarity. You know, and you got to watch it. And I hope that we keep an eye on it on this radio show. I remember some woman got on here one time and every other word was F this and F that. Sometimes people think that you're cool if you use these kind of words. Or they think you're cool if you let everybody know you like pot. You know, you think you're in if you want to brag about these things. These things ain't to brag about. We want to influence our children, our youth, and we need to influence them in a good way. We need to influence them on, you know, how to conduct themselves in that world. And running around acting tough, cussing people out, calling people fakes and wannabes when you're the one hiding, you know, that's crazy. But anyway, getting into some other stuff, you know, since Chauvin, when Chauvin got found guilty, how within 24 hours, cops killed 6 different people, including a 13-year-old guy, a 15-year-old girl. The 15-year-old girl, she had a knife. That cop, she had her back to the cop. Now, any brave person could have ran up and just knocked that disarmed her. She's only 15. This cop's supposed to be a super cop, straight A shooter and all that. But what does he do? shoots four or five times. He could have killed somebody else, reckless as he is. But people are saying he had no choice. He had a split second time to think. You know, that's baloney. You know, he should have been thinking all the way there. You look at the video when he gets out of the car and starts walking, his right hand is grabbing for his gun. He only had one hand available. That's why he couldn't stop this girl with one hand. He had one hand, but the other hand was on the gun. Then he pulled it out. He got no excuse. But Washitu Logic, his neighbor, a white man who filmed it too, he said, yeah, he had no choice. He had no choice but to use that gun. He had a short time, you know. But how do you kill a woman, Tahashi? You know, how does that happen? How can you kill a woman with a gun that ain't even attacking you? You know, how do you do that?
You're no hero. When you attack a woman, it doesn't matter what race or, you know, what nationality. You are not a hero if you have to kill a woman. You know, that's totally wrong. You know, they talk about these tasers and all this other stuff, beanbag bullets, you know. But these cops still don't, these white cops, they don't care. It's a person of color. That's how they've always been. Look what they did to our ancestors. Look at what the grandmas and grandfathers went through. And it's still the same thing today. This police force that they got is the new cavalry. That's why they're doing that to us. That's why people of color don't count to them. And they have that immunity from it, and they know it, so they keep doing it. It doesn't, Chauvin didn't prove nothing. He killed a guy, and it's good that he got convicted, but that doesn't prove nothing. The system is the one that created these guys, and that's why I say, anybody that kisses ass to these cops are sellouts. Anybody that thinks that the cops are good for them, that's bullshit. They'll turn around and shoot you just as quick as they did that girl if you're a person of color. So I don't know how these guys get off of that.
Look what they did to that 13-year-old kid. He raised his hands. Then they found the gun about 20 feet away. They show it on the light. How do we know that was his gun? Those cops have been known to throw stuff. They planted drugs on my own sister, the cops. Yep. And the only thing is the cop got caught for doing it because he did it so many times. He wrapped them in the same little baggie, that same baggie to the other ones he planted on. That's how he got caught. You know, these cops will do stuff. I had cops plant a knife in my bed when I was in the joint, you know. They do anything. They're a wicked man. You know what? They used to take my photos, shake my cell down, pull my photos out of my mom and my sisters, and rip them up and spit on them right in front of me while I'm handcuffed. You know, that's the kind of people they are. And you know what? They shot this 13-year-old kid. And I was looking at on one of the Facebook posts regarding that. One guy, a Mexican guy, said, I was an MP in the military, and that kid shouldn't have been up 2 in the morning acting tough. Well, you know what? A lot of kids do that. I did that. Me and my buddies, we used to creep out of our windows and run around in the night acting like wolves. To howl at each other. we used to have fun, you know. We could. Yeah. Larry used to go, oh God. But we used to sneak out. Everybody I know, man. Everybody sneaks out in the nighttime when you're a kid. That's and you do it. So what? You should get murdered for it, and people should use that for an excuse to kill you. But I was looking at the comments. White people, they have that logic. Washitu again. Here we go with Washitu. It's always Washitu that have this logic. That cop had no choice. He had no choice, you know. He did have a choice. Yep. First of all, first of all, you're the cop. You're the one gets that badge. You're the one trained. You're the one is supposed to understand that you chose that job, and it could be dangerous. Your job ain't to murder people. It's to serve the people. So when you take that job, your job ain't to just go out killing people. Your job is, you know, sometimes you have to gamble, you know. He's chasing this guy, you know. Hell, I've been chased too. I'm glad I got away. But I was young, you know, and a lot of us automatically run from the cops. It's a normal thing to do. The cops killed a 13-year-old guy in Salt Lake City with autism because they seen him in the alley and he turned around and ran and they chased him down. This happened in September last year. They gunned him down, you know, with his back turned. And there's a video right now where there's cops have another autistic kid beating the hell out of him in the street. You know, they told him to sit down. He sat down. He started to stand up. They threw him down. He had a scooter, one of those like skateboard scooters. They took it and just threw it, you know. And they whipped his ass in front of his own parent, you know. And he's Washichu. The parent said, well, you know, you see, they have this logic. If that was my mom, she would have been over there on that cop's ass with a roller or something, a frying pan, you know. But you know what? It's deadly. These cops are deadly. And no matter what, to support them is not a good thing, you know. I want to say something, you know. Because I spoke with somebody, you never know, and they said one of the things they said was the wrong word is to work with them, but really the other word was to meet with them. You know, and maybe there is some kind of solution to meeting with, you know, and meeting with them and pointing stuff out, being allowed to point stuff out over a 20-year period of time to get some action, because the feds right now are going to investigate Minneapolis, and the feds are going to maybe even charge that guy, that Chauvin guy, with a crime in 2017 when he had his knee on a 13-year-old kid, you know?
Yep.
He did the same thing to a 13-year-old kid and some other crimes he was involved in. But this one was similar to the George Floyd one. And his supervisor at that time just gave him justification, you know, to do that. And that kid went to the hospital. He didn't die, I don't think, But he had to go to the hospital. He was bleeding from his ears. He was he couldn't breathe, and he was crying and everything, you know. And this guy was on this guy for 19 minutes, you know. You know, and you know, so they might consider it. So I guess there's a point. You know, I don't know. I never met with a cop to bitch. You know, I called up a cop in Valentine and tell him, how come cuss him out? Because some white kids beat up my blind cousin, you know. And he said if he's blind, how did he know they were white? I said, hell, I'm calling you up. You're 45 miles away. I can't see your face, and I can tell you're white. You're white, ain't you? I don't need no eyes to tell that. You got quiet, you know. I mean, you know, because you could tell they got their own language. They got their own voice structure. They got their own vocal cords. They got their own stupidity, you know. So it all adds up, you know. And anyway, you know, we could go through some of this stuff, but you know, that Chauvin was a big verdict for the people, you know, like, you know, they were all happy. And that young girl that videoed that spot, she was young, and others did it too. But the cops will always threaten you. If you start videotaping them, some of them will even shoot you for that, you know?
Yep.
And they'll take your camera and everything. So, like I said, you got to be kind of brave and have some audacity to film a cop, you know?
Yep.
You know? And she did it. But that Chauvin, he was there smirking.
Yep.
He was smirking, you know, like, yeah, look at this. And the more they hollered at him, don't do that. He can't breathe. You know, the crowd's hollering at him. The more they hollered at him, the more he smirked and pressed harder. Evil, man.
Yeah.
He was evil.
Pure evil.
In the trial, they didn't bring that up in the trial, you know. But he still got found guilty. But you see, Wasichu and other cultures, it's like there's a big blind spot in reality in their life. There's some things they're just blind to, you know? And we see a lot of things. We see stuff. We know how they are. That's why our people said they had forked tongues. We knew all about them since they showed up, you know? And we know about them. Our people know about them, and that's why we call them Wasichu, right? You know?
Yeah.
And anyway, that was one of the things. The other thing I wanted to mention, you know, in Berkeley, California, they have some shell mounds. Court approved them to put a 250-unit apartment right on top of the shell mounds. And the tribe over there, once again, you see how Indians are. They don't think either. Well, we had them shell mounds been there for 4,500 years, you know. Anyway, the court said that the shell mounds got buried. They're under the ground, so they're not a historical site no more. That's their logic. But you see, you can't have Wasichu logic to win them. You know, when you say they were there 4,500 years, how do you know that? Just because you're an Indian, you're supposed to put a date on how long they were there? Hell, them shamans are probably there 100,000 years, you know? Why do other tribes and other Indians that talk for our native people use dates like the white man? Oh, we were here 10,000 years. We were here blah, 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 blah. When we don't know, all we know is like our songs. We don't know exactly how old they are, but we know they're a good 20, 30, 100,000 years old, you know? We know they're way older than a white man could imagine, and they look at how long they put a time on when we showed up here. There's no time. We don't know we are created here. How are we supposed to know? They say we came from China 10,000 years ago, but we came 10,000 years ago, that's only 100 grandpas ago. How can our language change so much that we don't even have one Chinese word in 100 grandpas, you know? And how can we change so much when we can't even eat rice? Man, if I start eating too much rice, I start seeing pink elephants and purple giraffes, you know? Yeah, I like rice, but I got to mix it up, you know? But we're nowhere near them. We're nowhere near them.
That's it. Bottom line.
We're nowhere near that. I mean, yeah, we like rice. You know, we like some Mexican rice, you know, fried up, you know, and all that. But if we were to sit there and just eat rice, man, we'd get drunk, you know? You know, we might even pass out on the spot, you know?
We got wild rice. Well,
yeah. Yeah, wild rice.
Wild rice is good, though. This new rice that they got, it's bleached and done everything to it to enriched. Make it look enriched and, you know, probably, who knows what they did to it. Then they give it to us, you know, and we're supposed to like it. Shit, I mean, you know, come on. It's not one of our foods. That's why we don't like it.
Yep. You know, and then, so that's what they eat over there. You know, you go over there in the Far East, that's what they eat, you know. And, you know, they eat that as, you know, they'll eat a whole plate of rice with nothing else, you know. Yeah. Man, if I eat a whole plate of rice, man, I don't know. Man, if you eat a whole plate of rice, man, what the hell? Shit, you know.
I got to have meat in my diet, man.
You want some meat, Tahashi?
Nada. I got a lot of meat. There you go.
Yeah.
Can't even go 5 minutes, huh? but it's the truth, you know. We can't put a time limit on when we showed up, when we did this, when we did that. It's like Medicine Man told me. They, you know, people say seven generations. They talk about seven generations. Well, seven generations in a white man's logic is only 150 years, seven generations of people. But in our language and in our makeup, a generation isn't considered like a Washichi. A generation, Medicine Man told me, they're like eras. Like a generation is, say, the Ice Age. That was a generation. Another generation is different eras of time, you know. And seven eras could be 50,000-60,000 years ago, you know. We don't know that, but we don't measure seven generations as, because look at, I'm a great grandpa right now. That's already three generations, you know. Seven generations to me was just barely back in the end of 1800, you know. You know, seven generations ain't that far back. But you hear these Indians talking about seven generations and stuff, you know. They don't understand the spirituality of what is meant by seven generations, you know. They don't have no clue what seven generations are to the spirits, you know. When the spirits speak in ceremonies, they ain't speaking about Washichu time. There's no 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Those are all Greek words or something. You know, there's no months, January, February, March. Those are all made up by these people too. We had a time. Remember, we used to measure stuff by moons too, didn't we? By moons.
Yep.
Like that happened 4 moons ago, or that happened, you know, this many moons ago, or other different astrological features in the sky that changed, you know. That happened 4 Big Dippers ago, you know, when Big Dipper went around for a whole year or something, you know. Our people had measured things in astrological ways. There was no 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. Somebody said, Oh, we were created right at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, if you go on Facebook and watch these Indians come up with their shit, you say, damn, and most of them don't know crap, you know, but they really want to sound important. And they'll even argue, do your research. We started at 1 o'clock, you know, and, you know, it ain't even, remember the Aztec calendar? They said in 2000, the earth was going to end. And I said, shit, in 2007, there's still going to be a new Cadillac, you know, we're still going to be here. So don't be saying it's going to end. Or remember they said the computers are all going to stop at a certain time. Boy, they come up with some doozies, don't they? You know?
Yeah.
But like Medicine Man said, you know, when the Big Dipper and the sun line up, when the sun shines right through the Big Dipper, that's considered lighting the Chanupa. You know? And people say, well, how do you know if it's the sun of Big Dipper? How do you see it? They see it. They know it. They're medicine men, you know?
You know?
And if you go out and look at the Big Dipper in the nighttime and imagine where it would be at in the daytime and then see where the sun is, you can see that they're lined up, you know, at a certain time of the year, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many things that people don't know about, but you have to get into the spirituality to see it, you know? And the deeper you're into the spirituality, the more privileged you are to get more information. So if you don't do it a lot, then you're not going to be privileged. That's why the medicine men are privileged and they get more information than we do because we ain't on it like they are. You know, we should be though. I try to be, but you know, I'm just like they said. Remember, they said each one of us is born with so many number of spirits, and then after every time we mess up, one good spirit leaves and another one, a bad one comes, and they said about me. They said you're only traveling on two good spirits left.
You're borrowing
I lost
from
all
Larry.
My I lost all my other ones. Yeah. And Larry even ripped me off for a couple of mine, you know.
Finally had a couple.
Yeah. Larry's running around with a couple of my spirits, you know. You know? and gave me his bat. He gave me one of his bad spirits. That's why the cops beat me up one time. Yeah, but there's so much in spirituality that our people don't know. You know what I mean? And that we need to. I really hope that, you know, I always hope to see my children become more spiritual than me, you know. I wish that our youth will work on it more and more and more because we have a gift and we're privileged, Native Indigenous people. We're close to Wakan Tonka and we can get gifted. It's just like when Jennifer was on the in last week or some, she mentions about going to ceremonies and the spirits talk to our people, you know, and people don't believe that, but hell, I've been in ceremonies and seen some things, you know, and witnessed a lot of things, and I've been on Humblecha up on the hill and I witnessed some things, you know, and you know, the Washichu, if he's seen that stuff, he'd be hauling ass, you know.
He'd be in Yankton. He'd be in Nutlock.
Yep.
You know, we. I mean, you know,
And
that's why we always tell people that Washita don't have a spear. You know, when they killed Jesus Christ, they killed that. See, that's why they're the way they are. They're murderous, hateful, ignorant, no brain people. You know, that's Washita does not have a spirit. That's why they're hateful. And when they don't understand something, they kill it. Look what they did to the greatest man ever given to them, Jesus Christ. That was their medicine man. And look at the respect they showed him. And yet they still use him today and lie about him. And they call themselves Christians. But yet look at how they are. Like, you know, like we talked about, they murder people. They brought all of that stuff here. And then they tried to say, oh, you guys were like, no, we weren't like that. That's why they had coup long ago. You know, when you call it coup against your enemy, you know, you didn't kill that dude, you know. But yet Washita does not have a Nahi. We Indian people still have that, but yet we're starting to lose it because of all these guys wanting to be Washita and acting Washita. You know, they get rid of that Indian mentality. They know they're Indian, but there's too much Washita up there. They don't understand that. They come from a very special people, you know. We were God's people here. Even Christopher Columbus wrote that down. And they don't put it out there, you know.
That's why they call us Indios. Indios.
Yeah.
And that sounds like Indio, if you hear Indio. And that's why they started calling us Indian, because it sounded like he was saying Indio. And then people say, oh, they call us Indian because he thought he was in India. Well, India wasn't even called India. It used to be called Hindustan until 1860.
Yep.
So that's another lie. You know, they've been calling us Indians for the last 500 years. And people say, oh, they call you Indians because they thought he was in India. Well, India wasn't even India until 1860. It was Hindustan. Nothing like Indian, you know. But, you know, once again, that's people. They don't know what they're talking about, and they want to speak for us. There's always some people out there that have big mouths. They talk for the Lakota people. They talk for the indigenous. Just like people, they went to Standing Rock. Never did anything in their life, but they went to Standing Rock. Right after that, they started going all around Europe, calling themselves a water protector and get free plane tickets and getting invited, you know, and getting those GoFundMe pages, you know, and some people just act like that's the only thing they ever did in their life, you know, and they run around. I'm proud about water protectors.
It's all a hustle.
But
it's all it is.
Yeah. But you know what? To be a water protector and somebody who's a professional gamer and uses all this for a game to get importance in their life, that's a different kind of thing. I know a whole bunch of people was in Standing Rock. When I was up there, there's all kinds of Lakota up there. No, I don't see none of them ever on Facebook talking about Standing Rock left and right, you know? You know, there's a whole bunch of Lakota. The whole side of the road was homies, you know, that one time I was sitting out there. We were sitting on the whole side of the road out there. Even Donnie Puyer and all of them were there, you know? All kinds of people, you know, were all sitting out there, you know? But I never see them running around with big old GoFundMes and writing books about being a water protector and all that, you know, for exploiting. They exploit for personal gain.
There's no sincerity in those people. You know, that's that Washita mentality. Mazaska, you know.
Mazaska. Yep.
They want to brag. They want to be somebody. They want to put themselves out there as something special. Hell, you know, We've been doing this for years and years and years, and none of us has ever asked for anything. We don't write books, or we lived it. That's why, you know. And these guys that come along lately, all of a sudden, they understand that water's going to be like gold one day. And then all of a sudden, they're water protectors. They're bigger than everybody, you know. Shit.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't work that way, you know. It does not work that way. We live this stuff. We live this, us guys, you know. And we don't need to brag. We know what we did. Tunkashila knows what we do. Tunkashila, you know. That's what counts. Tunkashila counts, you know. And that's
to me,
how these people don't look at it. See?
To me, if you fast without water, then you know what we're talking about.
You bet. That's what I'm saying. You live it, Tunkashila.
And look it, man. I seen my brother Larry walk past me with a throat drier than hell.
I mean, you know, slid glue all over.
I seen Vimber there with his eyes rolled back, just whites, you know. When you swallow, your throat sticks together, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And people never experience that. They don't know how precious water is, you know?
Yep.
You can go protest for it. You can stand out there, and I'm not putting them down. I'm proud of everybody that showed up to stand for the cause. You know, but like everything else, it happened and we move on. We move on. And we let history, the history of it, keep us reminded of those times. You know, we don't need to go out and remind people every day. Yeah, I was there. I was there. I was there, you know, and rah, 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 you know, and, you know, sometimes people, they only have one thing they ever did in their life, and then they jump on it, you know, and then they turn around and call everybody else fakes and wannabes, you know, and it's really, this guy gets on Facebook and listens to this radio show, he said, yeah, I listened to that fake wannabe AIM show, you know. And all he talk about is Washitu. You know, I could just hear his voice or her voice, you know. Whoever it is a fake. Don't have no face profile, you know. Don't have no pictures on there to see who he is. Yeah, he says he lives in Banning, California, L.A., and went to UCLA. Hell, if he went to UCLA, you'd think he'd have some intelligence. To keep his mouth shut, you know. You know what I mean.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
And then calling people fakes. Well, who's the fake? You look at my profile. I got pictures of my mom, my brothers, my sisters, my kids. You know how you can put my name in the search engine and find out everything about me. And I'm 70 years old. Being 70 years old, he said, oh, I'm going to expose you for what you are. How, when you're 70 years old, what more exposure can they have of me? You know, I've been evaluated for, 60 years by outsiders, you know? There ain't much more they can find out about me, you know? I mean, I even been seen naked, you know? And, but here's a Rudy Poot saying I'm gonna expose you, you know how, and then putting my YouTube videos up, like that's really some evidence against me. That's promo for me, you know. Yeah, put my videos up. I want people to see. And the other thing is, just because Indian ghost travels around the world, he ain't a sellout. You know, a lot of Indians travel around the world and they ain't a sellout. the American Indian Movement traveled all over. They've been to Libya, Palestine, South America, Germany, you know. They even had an AIM chapter in Germany one time. My bro, Pete Bender, was in on it. Dennis Banks and them set that up, you know, back in the early 70s, in the 70s, you know. And, you know, all these guys, all these Angsters, you know, there's so many of them that were around that just like when they stopped that boat, going, taking supplies to Palestine, there was Angsters on that boat. You don't see them on Facebook. You don't see them running around bragging about it, but we know who they are. You know, they were there, a lot of Angsters. And then a lot of Angsters, you know, of course, they went and had relationships and have kids from different women. If you're a man, what are you supposed to do? You know, I mean, you know, we got urges, you know, but to attack us for doing something, I attack somebody for not doing something, you know, something must be wrong with you, you know, I'm proud of my kids, you know. Yeah.
You know, these a lot of these guys, they woke up to American Indian movement, woke them up back in the day.
Uh-huh.
People used to be ashamed to be Indian. And in 73, there was an awakening, you know, and the Lakota people had their treaties. They had these ways, and they were still there. They were strong in it. And all of a sudden, these people, these other tribes that were getting wiped out by the Washiju, realized that they're Indian, and they do have some, and this land is theirs. So it's kind of an awakening. But remember, American Indian Movement isn't a tribe. It's an organization where all these people, we're all fit together because we're from this land. You know, all these tribes. That's what American Indian Movement is, you know. It's all these tribes.
Yeah, Standard Rock.
Yeah.
In Standard Rock, there was a whole bunch of Angsters, and all these guys who call everybody else a fake, you know, they don't know these guys. You know, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling people, you know, I went to St. Petersburg, Russia, and there was an AIM flag flying out there. I didn't ask how the hell you get that. Who gave it to you? I didn't say that. I was proud to see that flag over there, way in the hell over there, you know? And
there's Native
and,
too.
And, you know, yeah, they should be proud of the influence that the American Indian Movement has. They should be proud of how big it is. It's bigger than a little body over here, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, we need a governing body to help guide us. That governing body should be guiding us. But how do they do that if they hate some of the people there are hating on everybody else? They think they're a higher God than somebody. I seen people putting Deb Holland saying she's the highest level of Native American in the country. I said, hell, that's bullshit. My mom was higher than her, you know. Grandma was higher than her, you know. Yeah. We have a lot of women higher than that. We have women living spiritual lives every day and having lots of children. You know, that's being Wakan, you know, having children. Yeah. Adding to our culture, you know, and you know, Indians, they have they're turning Washichi. So in order to have status with these people, you gotta be accepted by the white man. You have to have a white man status. You have to be a Secretary Interior. You have to be a judge. You have to be a police. You have to be a senator. You can't just be like me and you and us here on the show. To them, we're nobody. We don't have no status. So we're supposed to sit here and look up to them as a God. Well, that ain't what's happening, because they're not giving us leadership. The people giving us leadership are ones like us that are out there participating with the people, living with the society. And just like you said, you know, and I kind of would like you to mention this a little bit. You just was in Hawaii last, and by the way, take that. You could take that thing off your neck tomorrow. You know?
No, I want to keep getting laid.
Yeah. you used to wear a tie because you had so much class, but now you got one of those flowery things around your neck. But tell us about your trip. Tell us about your trip, about a couple of the people you ran into. That was interesting what you were saying, how they're talking their language and they were calling you uncle. And tell us a little bit about your experience there.
You know, these Hawaiian people, the original people, the real respectable people. You know, I didn't go to expecting anything. You know, I just went to check it out. But the minute these natives there, the real Hawaiians, knew that that I was different, that I wasn't a white man, that I was a native. I was their uncle, you know. There's all these young guys, calling me uncle. You know, it's they're real respectable, because I'm a native from the States. And these people, they still have their language. And man, it was good to hear them talking it. Me myself, I felt proud, because here they were. You know, there's another native that come from the mainland, and he's a native. So he's their people. That's what they called me, was uncle. You're one of us, you know. And they even told me, we natives, we have to stick together. These Hollies, you know, they're just tears, all they said. But they treated, because I was a native, or I was a Lakota from back here, the treatment I got from these Washitus was totally different. You know, they had a lot of respect for me, for being who I was, you know, and they understood that. They knew that. And those people had a lot of respect for that. And me, myself, it made me feel good, because there's natives there. There's Indians there, you know, and they're just like us Lakotas. They're Unshika, but yet, the respect that they showed me, you know, it was more than I expected. And those people, I have a lot of respect for them. Even the Hawaiian Airlines, they were calling me uncle, even though they didn't know me. And they treated me with respect. They didn't worry about these Washitus. They took good care of me. They wanted to give me snacks. They wanted to give me extra drinks, whatever. They didn't pay attention to these guys on the flight, these Washitus. They took good care of me. And that, to me, all natives should do that. The respect. We should show each other the respect that's due. You know, quit thinking like Washitus. You know, like you were saying, this Grand Governing Council or whatever it is. Yeah, it's good to have leadership, but it's good to have good leadership. Somebody that stands for the people. Not somebody that stands for just this guy here, that guy there, or you're Indian, you're not, you know. That's white man thinking, hey, Washitu, hello, get rid of that. You know, get rid of it. That's not us. That's not who we are. You know, we're Lakota people. Lakota people are a kind-hearted, inclusive people. That's what I was telling Tanshi. We have Custer's grandkids living on our reservation because the white man did not want those kids. They were George Armstrong Custer's kids, but the very people that used him and the very people that looked at him as a god didn't want his children. They were savages. So they came back to the Lakotas, and we took care of them. We raised them. Same with Buffalo Soldiers.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of people on our reservation. And then they want to call us savages. And then Hawaii, I go to Hawaii. Those people ain't savages. And I thought about that. Those sugar canes that they had them working as slaves in and stuff. They ain't any different than us. And when they start calling me uncle, it made me feel good. It made me feel good because they were real Indians. You know what I mean? They were Lakota, just like me, you know? But the respect they showed me, you know, is, I mean, I loved it, you know, because you go to some of these places where there's a lot of Indians, they don't even do that to you, you know? The minute they find out you're Lakota, they start hating on you, you know what I mean? But yet, they come over to our territory, we accept them, you know? And that's the way it goes. Look at our Sundance. Look at all these Sundances they have. A lot of these people lost everything, but we're a kind-hearted people, so we share with them. We're a very inclusive people, you know? And I'd like to see more of that. Me, what those people did over there, you know, and the way they acted, the way they treated me was with a lot of respect. And I love those Hawaiians, man, the real ones, you know? Heck with the Hollies, you know? There was even a guy from he was a Maori. He was there, and they asked him what the difference was between a Maori and a Hawaiian. And he said, "Let me think about this." Stood there for a little while, and he told the Washita dude, "Not a damn thing." He said, "We're native, you know." And that's the attitude that those people have. If you're native, you're part of them. So it was a good feeling. It was a really good feeling because they treated you with a lot of respect. They didn't care about those Washitus. You're a native. Yep. They treated you like one of them. They're good people. Really good people.
There's a video, and this Hawaiian girl, she says, we're not American. We're Hawaiian. So don't you forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She says that on television, you know.
Yeah.
She's telling them American people that.
They're good people over there. You know, that's the real people. The real Hawaiians are real good people, man. I enjoyed myself over there because of the respect that they gave me. And they didn't know me, but they knew I was different. They knew I was a native. That's what they said. You're different. You're native. You're one of us. See, what does that tell you about those people? You know, they're good people, especially the natives, you know. And to me, people ought to think like that, like we do on our reservation. You know what I mean? People come from all over.
Yeah.
They join us. We accept them, you know? And that's why I say when the American Indian Movement was formed, it was formed there. That's where it got its start from. That's where it took off from. You know, they went to Minneapolis to help them because police were beating us. Now, all of a sudden, they want to side with the police. Get real, shit. The police is the Calvary, modern-day Calvary. Look at what they're doing to us. Look at all this discrimination in the state of South Dakota and the surrounding states. They hate us because we're native. We're people of this country. All they want is our land. And yet we're sitting there telling each other, oh, you can't be, you can't have an ain't after. You, oh, man, you're not Indian because, you know, this and that and, you know. Because you got butthurt over a white girl or something, you know, shit, get over that stuff, you know. We're Indians. We got to stick together. Ask Leonard Crowdog. We got to do this together, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where you're from. You could be Lakota, Apache, you know, a Mayan, whatever, you know. And a lot of these guys say, oh, Mexican. Mexican, all it is just a Spanish-speaking native from South, you know.
Yep.
That's all it is. Like English over here.
Hey, Tashi.
You know, yeah.
I was looking at a post. This guy said, yeah, we're all Chicanos, but we're like invisible to society. It's like we don't even, you know, we're nobody. So I put on there, I said, yeah, you're Chicano, but if you realize you were indigenous and know where you're, found out where your bloodline is, you wouldn't be a nobody. You'd find out that you're indigenous and you're a major part of this country, and this country belongs to you. But when you when you try to claim a culture that really isn't a culture. It's kind of like a tribe, a bunch of people being a tribe and saying your language is Spanish. That's like me saying my language is English, you know.
Yep.
I said, you know,
yep.
That's where your problem is. You need to go, you need to understand you're indigenous. Being Chicano is like because you all showed up together and you didn't have nobody, so you hooked up with each other and said, yeah, we're Chicano. But really, a lot of you were from different tribes down in Mexico, Central America, South America, and there's a lot of tribes down there that people don't even know about. I was watching this documentary, and they talk a language, Kwe, man, I forgot it, but they have their own language down there. It's not Spanish or English. It's their own indigenous language, Kwe, Hicho or something. I don't know. I'm screwing it all up probably, you know, but that's how they are, you know, and it really trips me out that people don't really know nothing about themselves, you know, because they were raised in American society. And we have to,
you know, that's what I was saying, these Hawaiians. You know, they were talking Hawaiian, so that made me feel good, you know?
Oh, Quechua.
Quechua, okay.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the languages they speak, Quechua.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, and it's not, it's, you know, and if you hear the language, you know it's original, you know it's got no English, no, all our native languages have, they're unique. They don't have no influence of Europe, Asia, or nothing. It's just, you know, unique to over here. And like all of the native languages, you know, we don't have words like ugly and all of that, you know. So we judge people by their heart. You know, you got a good, you're good or you're bad, one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, and
When I was in Maui there, I went to this park by the beach, or, you know, it's the beach there. I went to, and there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of these people, Hawaiians. But one of those guys came up to me and started talking to me. And he said, you know, and then he said that. He said, you're different. You're from, as I told him, I'm from South Dakota. I'm a Lakota, you know, I'm Indian, native. Man, he got all happy. And he said, bro, he said, I'm glad you came to Maui. He said, if you go to these big islands, you'll be disappointed. He said, because those are all haoles. He said, here in Maui, he said, we're still traditional, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm glad you guys came here. He said, because, you know, it makes me feel good that we have other natives here, you know?
So they call Washichu haoles, huh?
Yeah. No. And he said, I'm real happy that you're here. And he said, welcome. Mahala, he said, you know, all this stuff. But he said that I wouldn't enjoy myself on these big islands because there's too much haoles over there, you know. And it made me feel good. And he told me, you're welcome. He said, man, you know, there's a, you know, this is our territory. He said, if you look, that people are camped along the roads and stuff. He said, they have nowhere to go. He said, there's no homeless over here. He said, they have a home, you know, and it's true. You know, it was totally different because there was no homeless over there. The homeless lived wherever they were living, in tents or whatever. That was where they belonged. And that's how these Hawaiians seen it, you know. And they said, if I went to these other places, there's too many laws, they said, you know, and you wouldn't be happy with the haoles, is what they told me. They said, this is where it's at. You're amongst the natives here, you know.
Yeah.
But it was cool, Conchi. It was real good because they're islanders and they still consider themselves natives. They're just like us. Like he said, we got to stick together is what he said. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and that
they
language,
got, yeah,
you know, that language.
The American don't like them either. You know, the American wants to take all their land and run them off.
Yep.
And they're doing it. They're doing it slow. Look at, they got that big main island. What's the name of it where Honolulu is? Man, look at that. That's almost all Washichu now, you know, or Hollies. They're all Hollies over there, you know.
Yeah, Hollies. They're all Hollies.
Yeah.
And you know,
instead of Washichu, we could say Hollies, man. We got a bunch of Hollies tuning into us. And some of you Indians that gripe about us talking Lakota, you're Hollies, you know. But look at here. I turn on some, open some lines, you know, and
go ahead.
The thing is, I wanted to tell people, you know, to have a voice is powerful.
Yeah,
and we use our voice, you know, so our voice that we have, like, say, here on this radio show, we think no one's tuned in. But I found out a lot of people tune in and a lot of haters tune in, you know, and that's all right. It helps our ratings, you know. The thing is, you know, a lot of people tune into us and a lot of people may not, they hate us. The good thing about it, it shows that we got a voice. It shows that we have an influence too. And the American Indian movement always had an influence over other Indians, natives. And this is part of it. So when they was calling this radio show a fake, when they're saying we're fakes, well, if we're fakes and we're not, and we have no relevance, then what the hell are you listening to us for? You know, go listen over there where they get awards from the Washington, you know, over there, But you see, the thing is, our voices, our presence is so seductive that they tune in, they come around, what a, tune in over here, you know. So anyway, I was saying that, and I just wanted, you know, listeners and people that come on the show to understand that your voice is being listened to. And maybe there's people that don't like it, but be proud. You're being listened to. They're hearing me. And I have Lance on the air. I have Hey Graciela. ¿Qué pasa? And Graciela's on, and Phillip's on, and, you know, if you want to tune in, and also, I'm going to turn on Layla, too. Defending stuff and when you're trying to fight for something, you need to understand that we don't have dates like those shamans wasn't there for 1,500 years. How can you tribal people say that? How do you know that? You know, you don't know that. All you know is they're there. They belong. They need to be respected, and you need to point that out. And the Washiki says, oh, it's underground. You can't see it no more, so it's not a historical site. You can't see it. Well, you can't see Abe Lincoln's ass under the ground either, but you still honor that place. You know? You can't see a lot of things, but you're still honoring it. You can't see any of your dead people, but you're always over there putting flowers over there. They're under the ground. You know?
Yep.
You put big monuments on top of their graves. You can't see them. They're underneath the ground. So why are you honoring them? But you don't want to. Yeah, but you don't want to. You don't want to honor a shalma because it's under the ground. When you're the ones who put it under the ground. You know. But you see, they don't have people to have the logic to defend certain things. When you want to defend something to the white man, you need to be able to defend it with a lot of intelligence, and you have to go to it, and you have to use good logic. You can't let them run over you because saying it was buried there, so it's not historical no more, you know? I mean, you know, look at Arlington Cemetery. All that's under the ground. You can't see it. Why should we honor it? Why should anybody honor it? But, you know, everything is only good there, logic. But anyway, I turn on Philip. I turn on Matt. Gracias. What's like the Washiki say? What say you? You know, or the Hollywood say? What say you? Anybody? I hear Layla laugh.
Hi, Vinny. Hey. I'm glad you're back, but I'm glad you had a great time.
I'm glad it's good to hear your voice, and like I said, anybody else out there, Lassazone, Graciela Zone, and somebody, another, hey, Josh, are you still there?
You stepped up on that.
Oh, did he? Oh, because I see another phone there.
Well, if you got one yourself.
Oh, poor guy.
Exactly about that. So you have to grab a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, Wombly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last week, Vimmer said he hadn't found any natives. How did he end up finding some?
Oh, because he went driving around the island.
The island isn't that big. I mean,
the island ain't that big, and he drove around it.
Yeah.
He was in a Jeep.
The island ain't that big. We went all the way around it in one day.
Wow.
Like I said, we met a lot of people. A lot of different people. So that's how I ran into some.
Wow. I'm kind of impressed here. You know, but that's really interesting. And, you know, it's always good. I tell my brother that I'm happy that you went over there. The main thing is to get away, and I know you stunk up that airplane. I think
I was the best mom did in there, man.
First thing you did was kicked off your moccasins in the flame. Displayed some holy socks, you know.
Traditional socks.
I see Lance, what's happening?
How come? Well, today I got my second shot, and it knocked me out, and I just woke up.
Oh,
I
really?
I just woke up, so I'm going to have to go back and listen to what I missed, like, the first hour. But other than that, I'm still here.
That's all right. We're all doing good. Bipper was just sharing about his trip to Hawaii and meeting the native people over there.
Yeah?
Maui.
Yeah.
Maui.
Yeah.
Did you do any surfing over there?
I didn't surf.
You can't see it, but he's got a big knot on him. Man, you can't see it, but he's got a big knot on his head from that surfboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we used to try to surf when I was young. Man, but in them days we had these big old giant surfboards. Mine was like 12 feet long, man. You know, whoever surfboard. Shit. Yeah. In them days, you had 9 foot, 12 foot surfboards, man. You know, big suckers. And man, when one of them suckers hits you, man, that's why when you wipe out, you have to stay under the water as long as you can until that surfboard gets done bounce. And it was so big, it ain't something you want to tie around your ankle. Like the small ones they got. Yeah, shit, that was another thing. We used to have these old lowriders. I used to have an old 52 Chevy lowrider. It's supposed to be a gangster car, and it didn't even look right with the surfboard hanging out the back. My homeboys used to make fun of me because back in them days, we had a beef with the surfers, you know. But I didn't care. You know, the thing about being Lakota, we don't have that peer pressure. We just do what the hell we want. So, you know, being native, I like the water, you know. I like the ocean, so I ran across a surfboard, so I went out and started trying it out, you know. Me and some of my bros, we used to go sometimes 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock even, go in the morning, catch the tide, and sit out there. Yeah, I got a little experience in that, you know. And shit, we used to have some fun, and then by 11 o'clock, it's all over. Like back out, you know, but out there in Huntington Beach and Doheny and down there, you know, shit, we used to go down there and do that stuff. And my homeboys used to tell me, hey, man, hide that surfboard. Don't be showing up with it like that. But I'd come back in the evening and drive down the hood with my surfboard on that day.
Yeah.
I used to have a 52 Chevy, you know, four-door deluxe, and I had 6-inch lower box on it, dropped down with fast packs on and a 1960 Oldsmobile steering wheel. Well, it was cooler than hell.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, we'd bomb around out of 54 Chevy. We used to have some old cars that bomb around, you know. And then back, you know, that was the thing, those old Chevys. And shit, 6-cylinders, shooting all over the suckers, you know. And they were sturdy, too. One time I hit a guy was getting out of his Cadillac, and I was kind of drunk, and I had a 54 Chevy, or it's a 53 Chevy, and I hit him and knocked his door off and tore his car up, man.
Oh.
And I only busted the headlight, you know?
Oh.
That's it?
I only busted the headlight. And you know, but I didn't want to call the cops. I told him I'll pay for it, because I paid for his cat. But tore his Cadillac up, you know. But I used to have a job, so, you know. But that's why even today when I'm driving down the road, when I see somebody to get out their car on the driver's side when the car's coming, I think about how stupid that is, because there might be somebody like me coming.
Yeah.
You know, but them old cars were sturdy, you know, back in them days. Yeah. You know. My dad had a 1950 Ford, a black one, and had blew out a hole in his block, and we still went to South Dakota and back in that old car. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cal Pepper had an old pickup. What year was your pickup? Remember, you drive that back. That was
63.
1963. And remember, we used to drive that all back and forth across the U.S. Man, 5-6 times a year, you know, or more than that. You know,
22 years, bro.
22 years you had it?
That's how long I ran that thing. It's still going, but my nephew's got it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you see, them old rides were something, and you could fix them or repair them real quick. You know? I remember my sister Teresa showed up in South Dakota, so I was going to check her oil and stuff, and I seen a piece of wood in there, so I yanked that wood up. And she said, "Don't do that." When I yanked it out, water started shooting out. She had a piece of wood stuck in it. Remember where the freeze plug is, those round
things? Yeah.
She had a round brand piled it in there, you know? I said, "Damn, man, you know, Indians don't give a crap. They do whatever they want."
When you have a ghost number, they do it.
Yeah, that's how it is. And look at even Phillip's car, man. I mean, no, not making fun of your car. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
it just move. Down the road, you know. But I got this.
Anymore.
Oh, I got a 1991 Buick LeSabre out here that I went to Santa Rock in. Man, that's a beat-up ride, but shit, it rides smooth. They call them forever cars, you know, because the motor is, you know, it's not good. Just somebody hit a deer in it, you know. There's somebody on the line that hit a deer in it. But I just tie the hood shut and go, you know. Tie the hood shut, no. I don't care what where's the rest, man.
Put your belt on there.
Yeah. The old my belt on there, you know. Shit. You gotta watch out. Watch out, you know. One time I went to the store in my car and I, you know, and I, right before I got to Rosebud, there's some young Indians, Buck Amos, standing at the, down there, all head back down, they were looking like gangbangers, you know. So I passed by, went down to the store, and I came back, and I knew they were going to be out there again. So I went into the coupe, so I rolled my window down and had my arm hanging out, and I drove past looking out. All of a sudden, bam, boom, my hood flew open right in front of him. I had to pull over. I grabbed my belt out, tied the hood shut, the windshield busted, and I took off, and those Indian guys were out there busting up.
They were probably high on their heat, you know. They were probably high and I made their day, you know. Old guy. Yeah. Just a, you know, old guy trying to look cool, but it didn't work out. But we also was talking about more of this police violence, Matt. You know, there's six cop killings. Cops kill six people in 24 hours, you know, after the Chauvin, Chauvin, whatever.
Really?
Hey, did you see his face when he was getting the verdict?
Yeah,
man, his eyeballs are bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. He's looking for a way out.
Yeah, his eyeballs are bouncing like, remember when they have songs and they have Mitch Miller songs and they have a little white ball bouncing on the words so you can see what the word. That's how his eyes work, like that bouncing ball on the word. And, boy.
You know what that look is from? You know what that look is from? That's the look of overconfidence. You know, he was overconfident that he was going to get out from those charges and not be convicted. And it totally took him by surprise. And he came back and said, yeah, you're guilty. That's what that was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He got, in other words, he got, I don't know how to say it, but he got holds down in public. That's the word I can think of, he had a look of a sudden rape, you know. No, that guy's spending his time in jail. They're keeping him locked up. They're talking about, but them cops are still giving them sentences in there. They're probably slipping them cheeseburgers and shit, and probably gave him a cell phone. And, they're going to look out for the Rudy Poop, but one day, all that's going to go away because he's going to end up in the big house. And if they file federal charges, the feds are considering filing federal charges on him for a crime he did in 2017 where he did the same knee incident on a 13-year-old kid. Yeah, so the feds are going to get him. And he goes to federal joint. The feds ain't going to cover him up like they're in Minnesota, they probably gonna make sure they keep an eye on him. I don't see no prisons in Minnesota being like San Quentin or places like that or some of the federal joints. I see that. Jumping around on me. But that guy, he got he's gonna suffer because no matter even if they treat him good in prison, he's still gonna suffer. And he suffered just because he was smirking and wouldn't get his knee off that guy. How stupid is that?
Yeah.
Just take his knee off him. They got him busted. They busted him already. Just take his damn knee off him, But he didn't realize that he got away with shit for so long. This was just a normal case. And all them cops, that cop shot that 15-year-old girl, the cop that shot the 13-year-old boy, they said he's a victim. He shot that boy and said, "Hey, you all right?
what are you going to tell some kid you're all right after you shot him in the gut? You know?
Yeah.
No, there's some really sick people. How do they get away with that? But they've been getting away with it. And, there's a system taking over right now. Like I said, I talked to somebody and they said, they had meetings, you know. I did. They pointed out I wasn't working with the police, but having meetings for all these years to bring those stuff up. But, having meetings and being around them all the time is too much. You know, we shouldn't have to be around them for 20 years. But that's what it appears to take. So some people, just like Black Lives Matter and all these black guys, they've been fighting this for 20 years and stuff like that. But there's millions of them, And when they killed the Lakota a while back, last year or something, he was running into the church because the church is supposed to be sanctuary. As soon as he got in the door, they tased him, and when he went down, they shot him, blasted him in the back about 4 or 5 times. You know, a Lakota guy in Rushville, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that happened last year, a year before, and nothing else, nothing more about it. You know, and our people went down there. You know, our people been down there. Our people went to the jail and all that. But you know, we don't have the numbers like Black Lives Matter. And that's another example. When something happens to us, Black Lives Matter ain't going to come help us. Nobody's going to help us. Just us. You know, and that's it. And that's what happens. You know. So with this family, it's sad that when stuff happens to us, we're on our own. And you can't tell people that. Anyway, that's some of the stuff we were talking about last. Some other things. Let me see. Looks like Graciela dropped out. She's probably cooking. She cooks good. She's probably posting stuff to Facebook. My tongue's just swinging when I watch.
Everything we gotta do. I mean, what else we got? How long it took for these guys to break up? You know that. I mean, and from 1973 to now, and look at how apart we are. I mean,
We only have 20 minutes, but I want to play a short recording for you because somebody was asking about the Angstrom. And, you know, I was talking about how our people contributed a lot to the American Indian movement. You know? And then the question is even the Angstrom. Let me play a recording, okay?
I'd like to give you that little greeting in Lakota language. language of Crazy Horse, Red Cloud, and Russell Means. And so we welcome you here this morning to this important event, continuation of AIM West's conference for the West Coast, but more importantly, to prepare and organize for the massive demonstration tomorrow against the racist mascot issue. And before we do that, of course, we have to acknowledge the Creator. And so at this time, if you'll all rise, we'll say a little prayer and I'll sing a little song and we'll go from there.
Grandfather, thank you for this day, this beautiful day. We thank you for the rain that you provided for Mother Earth. We pray for all the families that's represented here, for the children we represent, for the ancestors that we stand on their shoulders, Grandfather. And we pray for Mother Earth and the future generations. Thank you. We're going to start off, of course, with a song, but I want to tell you about this song. This American Indian Movement National Anthem is known by many different institutions, organizations. The FBI knows this song, U.S. Marshals, the BIA police, many other institutions, and now we're going to introduce it to the Levi Stadium and the issue of the racist mascot. And so we sing this song on behalf of a young man. His name was Raymond Yellow Thunder. This song was given to the American Indian Movement in 1972, Gordon, Nebraska, where a young man was set upon by three brothers by the name of Hare family, who were white ranchers in a border town of Gordon, Nebraska, near the Pine Ridge Reservation, South Dakota. Call South Dakota the Mississippi of the North. And so the racism was very, very strong on the border towns of the reservation. And at a Saturday night American Legion Club dance, these white ranchers set upon Mr. Raymond Yellow Thunder, dragged him into the Saturday night dance, stripped him from the waist down, burned the bottom of his feet with cigarettes, and made him dance Indian for the Legionnaires and for the ranchers at the Saturday night dance. And they drug him out of the Legion Hall, beat him to death, and they found him 3 days later in the trunk of a car. And so his family, after going to the FBI, the BIA, the U.S. Marshals, the U.S. Senators, the congressmen, they couldn't find no justice. So they came to American Indian Movement. We led a march and a caravan into Gordon, Nebraska, took over the town. So we've been dealing with this issue of racism for a long time because it's used to dehumanize our people. And we're not feeling honored when somebody calls us a racial disparity. And so on behalf of Raymond Yellow Thunder, my cousin Seabird Young Bear, my brother Ted, and a young man by the name of Tyrone Head, they made this song. They gave it to the American Indian Movement. They said, always remember Raymond Yellow Thunder, because he changed direction for the American Indian Movement to attack the issue of racism head on. And we've been doing it ever since with the police, with institutions of higher learning, in the school districts, wherever Indian people reside, we fight for our human rights. So on behalf of Raymond Yellow Thunder, we're going to sing this song, and on behalf of our efforts here to organize it, those people who have sacrificed, one such gentleman who died this morning, 5 o'clock this morning, one of our great security men. His name was Mr. Bob Humphrey.
Oh.
He was, they call Ho-Chunk, Winnebago. Passed away from congestive heart failure this morning at 5 o'clock. But I told his family we'd be remembering him here, as we do Raymond Yellow Thunder. And so we ask you to remember this young man by the name of Bob Humphrey. He was a Marine Corps veteran of 25 years. But he was just about to re-enlist when he heard about Wounded Knee in 1973. And so he left the Marine Corps and came to Wounded Knee. And he's been with the American Indian Movement ever since. So we remember Raymond Yellow Thunder, and we remember Bob Humphrey and all the other many warriors, men and women, who have passed on since that time. This is their song, O Heschitula.
Now, when there's a lot of haters out there, when people don't appreciate, you know, they complain about us saying, well, she's you or this and that and all this. And I'm not trying to brag, or I'm not trying to overdo the Lakota deal, but like you said, that song was made by Ted Means, Seaward Youngbear, Tyrone Head. Those were all Lakota men. You know,
yeah.
this contributions to the American Indian Movement are never acknowledged. You know, and I don't mean to be acknowledgy, jealous or anything about anything else, but we have a place too. You know, in the American Indian Movement, every tribe, every person out there, there's guys I know, even from South America, that were at Wounded Knee. You know, there's guys that from Washington, you know, I could name their names, you know, that participated in what we did. You know, it's not just one, you know, like everybody points this one direction of this country. It says that's AIM right there, Minneapolis. I'm not jealous about that. You know, I'm glad they can, you know, give AIM a hometown, if that's what they're doing. But the point is, the American Indian Movement and everything about it had contributions from all over.
Yeah.
And 1973 happened on the Pine Ridge Res. You know, a lot of things that happened were led by people, you know, our people. You know, they traveled to Alcatraz. They traveled to Washington, D.C. They were up there in Plymouth Rock, you know. I mean, Dennis Banks is one of these guys, but even Dennis Banks, he hung out with the Lakota so much, you know, and, you know, he ran with the Lakota. His wife and his kids at that time were Lakota. Even at Sunburns, he was even Pearson Lakota, Dennis Banks. And Dennis Banks hung out with Chad Means, Siebert Youngbear, and all these guys, you know, and they all were part of the American Indian movement when it started. So what I'm saying is those out there should understand, because I'm here, we do this radio show, Bimber's here, and Lance is here, Philip is here, Layla in Florida, a lot of us, we contributed a lot. And this radio show that they call a fake, I will tell you this, one of the guys that's hating on it actually came and asked me to do this radio show. This radio show was started because AIM wanted it started, and I was the one who was there that started it, you know, to take over that somebody else was doing in the past. So just because they get mad on something, now suddenly it's fake, that's Washichi. If somebody's an Indian and you get mad at them and then start saying they're not, they're fake after that, that's a bunch of baloney. And you talk about colonized, that's real being colonized. Because we all have a part, and ain't none of you out there going to change it just because you're hating on us. You know, this show is American Indian Movement Radio Show. And when I was asked to do it, I didn't take it right away. I said, let me think about it. Because, you know, I said, you're going to be pissed at me because you know how I am. Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry, you know. And you know, so, you know, I know time's running out. I'll make this quick. But the point is, I prayed about it. And I felt like it was another guided mission, you know, that from Sundance and Karen Chanupa ceremonies, I felt the power to go ahead and do this. So I felt like Wakan Tonka gave me blessings to do it. So just because you get mad at me, just because you don't like me no more, remember, if Wakan Tonka gave me blessings, then Wakan Tonka is the one's going to tell me when to let it go or move it on. So, and if you ain't Wakan Tonka, you might as well just hit the road. Because we've been doing this show, and that's how it is. You know, and you can't change that. You know, you can't change it. That's how the white man is. The white man started calling this America 3 grandpas ago. It wasn't America before, and they were an American. They're like, those Washichu think that you can be Washichu white one day and then change your color, be a Chinese the next day. But you're still Washichu. If you were white and born in in North Korea, them Koreans will still call you a European. They will still call you white. You're never going to be a North Korea. So why do you think that? Because you're over here. You're somebody. And why are you Indians acting like that? I was Lakota 20 years ago. Now you're mad at me, so now I'm a fake and a wannabe. You know? That's how you think. That ain't how it is. That ain't how none of us are. And I tell you, the same way with people that's on this radio show right now, Lance, Philip, all of us. You know, we've been in this for a long time. And just because somebody's mad, you can't strip us of our culture. You can't strip us of nothing. It don't work that way. You know? So you got to move on. Move your own way. And if you find it in your heart to join us in our mission against the society that occupies us and wants and disagrees with the American Washitu abuse, brutality, cops killing this and cops killing that, then we could be on the same page. But we're not going to work with nobody. We're going to be as who we are. Our way of dealing with the outside world is by not cooperating with them. They got to cooperate with us. And to cooperate with us, that means no more killing people for nothing. You need to put your guns away. You can't have guns no more. Park your guns. Give them away. Trash them. You don't need them no more. If you have intelligence, you don't need a gun. If you have Wakan Tonka, you don't need a gun. So that's the way it is. And any of you that think you're going to grab us by the hand and lead us to the American to work with them is full of shit. That's what's not going to happen. You can grab a couple Rudy boots to take with you. We're not going. Anyway, let me, Lance, any last comments?
Thank you for saying those words, and this radio show is such a big help for us, especially in this urban setting. What you said, I agreed with it 100%, and thank you for letting us all have this voice right here tonight. Nuella.
Stay. Philip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, time's ticking.
Oh, boy.
Okay, all right. You don't have much to say. All right, Layla.
Yeah.
Oh, another one. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Layla.
It says, feel the love, feel the power.
Okay. Well, all of you and my Larry, give us some. Go ahead, Larry.
What you are?
Okay. Well, stay, brother. And I'm always honored that you're here. You know, giving little brothers. You know.
Always glad to be here.
Member, go ahead. You say one for us. Go out. And say last word. Our last comment.
It's a pretty good show tonight. I mean, I think we covered a lot of things that were important for people to understand, to know. It was a good show. Very good show. Wow.
Go ahead.
Richard,
yes, yeah, well, I know. Check you.
Now, who has some questions out there?
With that, we're going to have to go, everybody. Doksha Ke, and some of you that want to hang out in the back door, I'll open that right now, but Doksha.
Don't be in the back door.
That was good here. Back door, huh?
I see the train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring